to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hey, I'm not a token chick this week.
Asa Gray.
Neither am I.
And Mandy Kennedy.
Hi.
The token chick this week. I'm kidding.
But.
She about to come at you.
I'm always here. Lindsay's not.
That's the point. I'm usually your replacement, therefore I'm the token chick.
But I'm here. Dawn's a loser.
Yay.
Yay. Something we can all agree on. But no, yeah, I do have Dalton's missing this week. He's working on something work related. I don't know what. Being a loser is really my best guess. And so I've got Lindsay on the cast this week. She managed to find time in her busy schedule to join us.
Yeah. I don't know. Otherwise, I'd just be at home with my new obsession watching Talking Toons because I just got done with the Ninja Turtle episode and it was amazing.
You found a YouTube addiction, didn't you?
Well, no, it's Nerdist, actually.
Oh, it's Nerdist. Oh, okay.
I don't know the last time I've had another girl on this show. It's been like over a year, I feel. The tables have turned.
Isn't it like every Thursday? Oh, well, on this show.
On this show.
This show.
I'm back.
Back off.
And it'll okay.
And it'll be nice that now everyone here, and like all four people, will have a valid opinion.
Aww. Oh, this just immediately became the rip on Dalton show.
It's going to be wonderful because like I'm not going to see him until like Saturday because he's not going to be on either of the shows on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So, yeah.
Dang. He's going out of town. Work.
So, yeah. So he's going to listen to this and I'm just going to hurt him. I'm going to hurt him real bad.
You were going to find out in the group chat.
I know.
Anyway, let's get on to actual show-related stuff now that we're done trashing on Dalton.
Not being on isn't show-related. Oh. Sick burn.
Oh, I didn't mean it
we
like that.
Does, but you know, tally.
Right?
How many times did we trash Dalton this
Five
week?
Five probably already.
All right. Starting off,
he's doing the gasping laugh. I can hear it.
Yeah, he's doing that hurt laugh that where he's laughing so he doesn't cry.
Right.
The Inhumans.
Well, speaking of hurt.
Someone else is who's crying. Yeah. So in addition to all the other signs that we've gotten in the recent past that the Inhumans are not getting another season, ABC has officially removed them from their publicity site.
Snap.
So yeah, it's all but official that the Inhumans are not getting a second season.
So because I saw this on Reddit earlier today. And my initial thought, and I'm not trying to be like make light of the situation or like be crappy about it, but my first thought was, we've already talked about this. Like, didn't we already know this wasn't coming back?
I mean, well, we had the rumor because they rephrased Inhumans season one to Inhumans the complete series.
That's what it was.
Yeah, so that kind of like gave us that idea, but they did that before the season even started. So we didn't know if, you know, viewership was up or if Marvel had pulled an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they did that, like, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ABC didn't want to renew it, but Disney said, no, we're renewing it. And then they had, like, the best season they'd had in a while.
I'm trying to find, because, like...
So did they at least give it a good ending, or is it already out?
I mean, the first season, that tells a complete story.
Does it? Okay,
yeah,
so like they're not like on a cliffhanger or anything and being screwed.
Right, like it That's sets good. Up what could be a second season.
Yeah.
But it's not like... Yeah, it's one of those things that tells a complete story, and we could get a continuation of their story inside a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Pretty easily, I would think.
I don't watch either, so I'm not upset, but sorry.
When I went through the... When I went through the comments of the Reddit thread on this, two things kind of stuck out to me. Is the first one being, well, we'll have to wait for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because of the current plot device for what this season is, not to get spoilery, which I guess the common theory is explains why they're not involved at all with Infinity War.
Yeah.
The other one being, okay, yeah, people are talking about being kind of upset that the show got canceled, but this happened in it. And it was a fight scene with Medusa where she stands still and her hair boxes like three people. And it was awful.
It did look terrible.
It like that was some of the worst CGI. Like when you look at the other stuff that even like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has done.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has had some pretty incredible CG.
Like, between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Netflix shows, and, of course, the movies, which that's not even fair to compare.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But still.
This was atrocious. This was like YouTube fan-made, I learned After Effects bad.
Birdemic?
Dang.
It was better than that, but not much.
It would be like if that was like the, so there's Birdemic 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
If this was like his fifth project.
Okay.
So he's slowly.
So we're like third year college animation student, but not trying real hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. Because it's one of those things, like, because I watched it happen, and like her hair, like in the early promotional materials, her hair looked bad. Just in the promotional still images, it looked a lot better whenever the show actually aired, and it looked, you know, it looked fine and everything. But then it got to the one time where she actually used it in a fight, and it looked so bad. Because I mean, that's what she does. Like, mm-hmm. she can control her hair individually. She can use, she can weaponize it, and all this other stuff.
Apparently, it turns hard.
It can. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, like
it was dumb. Like, there was really no...
Episode 2, it gets shaved off.
Yeah, because that's what they said, is because they needed to... That was her power, and so without her hair, like, she becomes manageable.
Yeah.
Or, like, she she becomes less of a threat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, episode 2, they shaved her head, and so we never got to see any more of it to see if it got any better or if it was just a weird scene or anything else. We just... That was it.
They probably couldn't get it any better, so they're like, here's our problem to that.
Lazy yeah. storytelling.
A little bit.
And then, but then you also run into the problem of, okay, now what do?
Yeah seriously.
True. Black Bolt at least looked awesome in that movie, or in that show. Mm-hmm. Everything Black Bolt did was cool. He was definitely the redeeming quality. Karnak had some okay scenes,
mm-hmm.
but I started to really dislike him towards the end. And Lockjaw looked awesome. I think that's really what happened. They blew their entire CG budget on Lockjaw.
As opposed to evenly budgeting it out.
Yeah, instead of putting any air, since they're like, we're not going to use it past the second episode anyway.
I don't even know who Lockjaw is, but it just reminds me of the turtle from Hey Arnold that they rescue out of the aquarium. That's literally, I'm picturing a giant turtle being CG.
He's a giant teleporting pit bull.
Yes.
Or bulldog.
So still
bulldog.
An animal?
Bulldog.
Yep, still an animal. Oh, okay. Huge animal. Cool. And yeah, he can teleport between the moon and the earth.
I'm trying to, I can't find the comment
but
that
it's
had...
the cow over the moon, not a dog.
Do what?
It's a cow over the moon, not a dog.
But anyway, so yeah, that one's not getting renewed. I'm actually really liking the season of the Inhumans. I thought I wasn't, not Inhumans. Inhumans I thought was okay. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, I thought I wasn't going to like it with how it started, but it turned out really good, and it could explain why they weren't involved in any of the Inhuman stuff. And, you know, whenever all of this is resolved, they could very well meet the Inhumans. And that's how that story will continue. A distinct possibility. I don't know if that's the route they're going to take.
And the Inhumans...
Press play, Lindsay.
And the Inhumans...
This is going to scare me, isn't it?
No, this is the Medusa fight scene. Just the live reaction.
Yeah, her
Okay,
hair
maybe
just...
if she actually did a little bit more movement, it wouldn't have been as bad. But the fact that she's just stiff and not really reacting with it other than turning her head which direction the person she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It also, look she great. Really looks like a ripoff between Jean Grey and Starfire.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, Medusa.
I mean, you're not, but that outfit they put her in with the purple and everything.
It's flat out like Starfire in royal getup.
Yeah. It.
I mean, in fairness, she is wearing like 11 times the amount of clothing that Starfire would be.
Valid.
Fair enough.
But yeah, other than that, you got a point. All right. Another TV show that actually does have a promising start. CW, we announced it a while back, got another DC hero that isn't Static Shock, but should have been Black Lightning. And the first episode premiered this last week.
Explains the Raiden premiere skin in Injustice 2.
Yes.
Because that seemed very random.
Yes. So yeah, that's why that's a thing. I watched the first episode. I actually really dig it.
How much time travel was in it?
None.
Well, I guess it's only the first episode.
Is he like Static Shock? Or?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he's like Static Shock in that he has electrical powers.
Yeah, okay.
Because the idea is, like, Black Lightning existed in the CW DC universe.
Yeah.
20 years before this episode takes place. And he's been done with the Black Lightning. He hung up that mantle. As far as everybody concerned, Black Lightning died a while ago, like stopping another criminal. And that's where everybody was concerned. Then this episode starts. He's now principal of a high school. He's got a couple of daughters. One actually attends the high school. One is a recent graduate. And stuff goes down, and now he's Black Lightning again.
I'm interested in it because I like those CW shows for the most part. I haven't seen any of Legends of Tomorrow. And like I liked the first three seasons of Arrow. Flash, I really enjoyed the first season of a lot. Like, that was probably one of my favorite shows. I saw an ad in one of the comics I was reading, and the tagline for it was, "It's lit." Or get lit or something. It had lit in it.
Really?
And I was just, yeah. And I was like, really? Oh, that's...
Yeah.
I don't like when marketing teams try to do something like that.
Right.
I also saw that ad, but that was after I watched this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you that there's not any improperly used slang.
But it got lit.
Oh. Yeah, did it? Was it?
The
was
episode
it lit?
Was lit, right?
I thoroughly enjoyed Say the episode. It.
From dim to lit AF. Where would you put it?
I plead the fluorescent?
Fifth. Should we proof where I start feeling like I'm getting old because all this new lingo is just crap?
No, go, it's the children who are wrong.
I'd say we're about to go full Abe Simpson up in here. But yeah, that's... You. Either way, I thought it was really, really good. I will say, and I feel like I shouldn't have to say this because I think I have a pretty good grasp on our viewership, but if you are completely sick of the narrative that black people are treated unfairly by police officers, maybe skip this one. Or maybe watch it and get some more perspective because, I mean, that's actually
Things
a
happen.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing that's happening in the United States of America, and it plays an important role in this series.
Okay.
This is one of those things where I will probably watch. I will watch it when it comes to Netflix.
It's fair. It's free to watch on the CW app.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Is there a difference between the CW app and CW Seed?
CW Seed is on the CW app. CW Seed doesn't have like that stupid, what do you call it, expiring episodes thing. Everything that's been released on CW Seed is still on CW Seed. Unlike the rest of everything that's on CW, where you only have the most recent five episodes.
Oh, like Hulu?
Because they keep it rotating.
Which, but it makes less sense for Hulu.
Yeah.
Or it makes less sense for CW because they actually own the programming.
Yeah, and that's theirs.
That's all their stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like it, FX and CW both do that, and it drives me insane.
Yeah, I have the Seed app
They
want
to make you watch it when they want you to watch it rather than when you want to watch it.
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense if you're trying to pimp your own material.
Yeah, that's...
Especially with as many advertisements as they put in, like, the free version of the CW app. It's ridiculous. But either way, it's free to watch on there, and I definitely recommend at least checking out the first episode. I'm really curious where they're going to take it. I really dug the first episode. So, yeah. Spider-Man, Homecoming.
Spider-Man.
A little bit more news about that sequel. Looks like they are going to introduce a femme fatale in the new movie. They put out advertisements looking for someone to play a new character in the upcoming Spider-Man film. They're looking for a young European lady that will likely lead Spidey to danger.
I wish I could do it.
Unfortunately, you are not European.
That's worse than a wish, Jesse.
Don't break her heart further.
Gosh.
I mean, you could just show up and then fake like a really good European accent.
It's true. I'll just wait for when Wonder Woman 2 needs me. They'll get me.
Because there have been people in the past that, I'm trying to think, it was Kick-Ass, if I remember right, the first movie. The guy that got to play Dave Lazowski,
yeah,
the main character. The casting people didn't know he was British until after the audition.
Yeah, that's
because
cool.
He had a phenomenal English or American accent, and mm-hmm. they didn't notice.
I can't. I'm pretty bad. And then you want me to read something in accent? It's even worse.
I know. This is kind of a tangent, but Tom Holland is mm-hmm. that's the name of the guy who did Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Who did Spider-Man? he did a Nerdist podcast interview. And Chris Hardwick talks about, it's like, so, okay, you do such a good American accent. Like, people, it's one of those things where people forget that he's British.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how, he asks him about that. It's like, so do American people sound cool to you? Or, like, how does that work? And he's just like, well, no. And, you know, part of the reason that everybody can do such, all the British actors can do such good American accents is, for the most part, British people grow up watching American products. So, like, American television, American movies are what's mostly the norm. Like, yeah, you have like BBC, and there are a lot of British made shows and European made shows, but a lot of what they watch, they import from us. So from childhood, they're just watching these accents. Hmm. And that kind of, when it's...
Plus, we're just poor English anyways.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that hard to mimic. Just
some words. I mean, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Like, yeah, it was, like, that's something I never really thought of that would influence their ability to be able to...
I also never thought about that, because I know, like, yeah, we do talk about all the time how you get these young British actors that are coming in here and just hitting perfect American accents, because even Tom Holland's, like, the extra special part of that, he doesn't just do an American accent, he actually has a little bit of a Brooklyn accent.
Right.
Like, where you'd almost think the kid is actually from Brooklyn. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. Huh.
That's really cool. Or is it Queens?
New York.
Yeah, I forget what, because I know Cap, one's from Brooklyn and one's from Queens. It's Cap and Spidey, but I don't remember which is which.
I apologize to our New York fans, but you all sound the same to us.
I feel like Spidey's Queens.
I think that might be right, but I honestly don't remember.
Because I'm almost positive. He says, yeah, I'm from Queens.
Because they had... Yeah.
And Cap does the Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's uh-huh. the scene I'm trying to remember.
In Civil War.
Yeah, in Civil War. But I don't remember if that's... Either way, like, he actually does have a little bit of that New York accent, and mm-hmm. it's slightly different. Like, a Queens accent is slightly different than a Brooklyn accent, but unless you're listening to them side by side, like, or you are a native to either place, you likely wouldn't notice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just a neat thing they did in the movie, and just a neat thing in general. So anyway, that looks really, really cool. More Marvel, like, more MCU news. We got a still for the Wasp costume. We got Scott Lang and...
Just to jump back real quick, just because the... I don't know if we said it or not, but the idea that it's Silver Sable.
Yes.
I just.
Oh, yeah, 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 because I completely got off on that.
Because who?
Tangents.
Because it was that thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, I could... There are no shortage of femme fatales in Spider-Man lore, but I genuinely forgot that, like, Silver Sable was actually European.
Yeah.
Because it was that one... Because that's what threw me. I was like, well, which of them is...
European?
European.
Yeah, because most of them are American. So, yeah, that's the popular theory, but... Kevin Feige has shown they are not opposed to rewriting histories of certain characters. So it's a distinct possibility that, you know, they're going to introduce Felicia Hardy this way. Like, have Felicia Hardy an East European transplant or whatever you want to call it. That's a definite possibility. Felicia Hardy is certainly a bigger role in Peter Parker's life than Silver Sable. So who knows?
Yeah.
It could be all sorts of stuff.
But then wasn't there that like rumor about the Silver Sable Black Cat movie?
Yes.
That Fox was going to do? Or not Fox, Sony was going to do.
Yeah, it wasn't just a rumor. Sony said they were going to work on a, now I can't even remember what they call it.
Spiderless Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Movie it's part universe? Of
their, yeah. Because they actually are working on a Black Cat Silver Sable movie.
Yeah.
I think they're calling it just Black and Silver, but right. I don't remember, or Silver and Black.
That's also silly. Spider-Man is from Queens and Captain is from Brooklyn.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I remembered something.
All right, Lindsay.
We did it.
So, yeah. Either way, that's what they're looking for. The popular theory, because European, is Silver Sable, because she's some kind of like small European nation. She's the queen of a small European nation. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
There's a tiny one.
That's a deeper pull than we've seen really anyone go with any of the Spider-Man movies that we've, like, the live action Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, live action Spider-Man so far is like
Sinister Six is.
Yeah, granted, like that's a deep pool in general.
And I would say the Tinkerer is probably the most obscure character we've gotten.
Yeah, and the Tinkerer is still kind of a big deal in Spidey lore.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, definitely the most obscure of them, because the first one outside of the Sinister Six. So yeah, that's what we're getting. And then going back here, Wasp and Ant-Man. Yeah, we got the shot of the two of them in costume. I thought it was really cool looking.
Yeah, and then Jesse ruined the shot.
Yeah, Jesse.
And then the internet ruined it for Jesse, so Jesse had to ruin it for everyone else, and I'm about to ruin
including
it for you,
too. Internet.
So yeah, if you look at the costume, it actually looks kind of neat. A lot of people are complaining about how it wasn't quite as vibrant as they were hoping.
Yeah, seriously, like, where's the yellow?
Right.
Yeah, and it is pretty dull.
It's Wasp.
That was, yeah. Like, it wasn't Wasp, that was Ant-Woman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because it's the same color scheme and, like, very similar helmet.
It is a slightly different color scheme, because it is more of a yellowish color.
Ish.
It's not, it's not specifically red and black.
Right.
But, yeah, no, you're right. Like, it definitely just, And I found that to be the case with most of these movies anyway.
I mean, they've toned everything down so that it's more military-esque as opposed to superhero vigilante.
It looks a little bit more darker and gritty, with the exception of Thor. Everything in Thor has been bright and pretty.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I love every bit of it. But then you've got, like, even the Iron Man costumes and stuff like that, they look more like, you know, it's not the bright red and bright yellow. It's more of like that dark, rich red.
He's made out of
gold.
A car.
Well, and granted, they've also kind of done that in the comics recently, too.
They have.
Like Golden Age, yes, he was, you know, super bright yellow, super bright red. But even before the first Iron Man movie, he kind of moved to that a little bit more mainlined, industrial.
Yeah, they make it look down. They make it look more realistic to what it would look like if somebody actually made that costume. That's about my best guess on it, because they did that with, like, all the DC movies have done it, like even Wonder Woman. Like, her entire costume is so much darker than it is even in current comic books.
Mm-hmm. And even her, like, so hers right now even almost looks like, that's almost a little bit navier or purplish than black.
Yeah.
But that's still, like, I'm not seeing a trace of yellow in that. Like, the red is lighter.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
no,
still
it's,
that, it's like, instead of red and black, it's almost like red and navy.
There are black wasps, but...
And somebody did put up, like, some fan-made, you know, changes. But it kind of made the one problem that certain people pointed out even worse. Yeah. Because it really highlighted it.
That's why they didn't put the yellow.
If you look at because the one I saw was bright yellow, and it really highlighted it. Granted, I had already read this information beforehand. All right, so if you look at the front of her costume, she has kind of the breastplate going on, with sort of like an abdomen chest guard thing going down. And the problem is, with those being the same color and everything else being different, it looks very phallic.
Super phallic. Because because the abdomen guard is really just like, it's very narrow.
Yes.
Like I'm willing to bet her abs are not that
narrow.
Yeah, no, it is very narrow. And yes, the breastplate then looks like the testicles.
Someone either upset the designer or the designer's in the background snickering like a child.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the Wasp has had costumes like that look like this before, though maybe not quite as blatant, I guess. Yeah.
I'm picturing the original design team did like a really true to life, you know, with the wings and the yellow and black and the antennae. And they were like, no, we need it more. We need it to match more of the costume. So like, all right, well, we're just going to tank this one so they have to use the other one, or we can at least get some middle ground.
Nope.
Perfect.
Uh-oh.
Make it. Oh no. Now they can't say anything.
Yep. So, yeah, the internet pointed it out, and I didn't notice until the internet pointed it out, and now I'm pointing it out to all of you.
You know when you see the arrow in the FedEx logo for the first time?
Uh-huh.
And now you'll never be able to see anything else?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is that kind of, like... So like she makes her grand debut on screen, it's like, that's a dick. That's some Dr. Manhattan level.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So yeah, that's you're welcome, internet listeners. For those of you that hadn't heard this before, now you know. All right,
and
more.
Knowing is half the battle.
we'll attach the picture to go to our Facebook page where we post this episode, and we'll attach the picture in the comments.
And while you're there,
so
give us a like.
Yeah, so you don't have to dig around and try to find it. It's easy to find, but
and
we'll just have it right there for
you. Easy to find.
And then she's got to like put that on, knowing
that
she's
got
like a dick on her. Like, dang.
Or they're secretly trying to not let her see any comments at all about it. Don't tell her.
Or maybe just no one noticed. Because it's the Tom Holland, again, in that Nerdist interview, talks about how he called the director. And he's like, hey, we have to do a voiceover for this scene. No, it's fine. I just saw a cut of the movie. Yeah, so did I. I'm talking in my normal voice.
Yeah, he did his super thick British accent for an entire scene, and no one noticed except for him in one of like the first shoots.
And it wasn't until he went back and saw the final cut of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So they had to like dub over
it. I have to assume this is like they all have just that tunnel vision of like, all right, we got to get this done. We're going to go.
Oh,
or the case of the monkey house. Once you're in there for so long, you don't notice.
I take that back, though. I refuse to believe that Paul Rudd did not immediately see that.
Oh, you know he did, and he giggled.
And yeah. He's just like, she comes out the first time she walks on set in costume. He's just like, No, it looks great. Let's do some good work today, people.
I love Paul Rudd. I'm treasure. Sure that's what happened.
He designed it.
he drew it up.
The input, yeah.
All right. Yeah, he made sure that it was all a different color.
Make the abdomen narrower.
Make sure it's pointing right down. To, anyway, yeah. All right, so more MCU news. There is a Black Widow movie in the works.
Cool.
Which, thank God, she deserves. Yeah, seriously, she deserves her own movie because she is awesome. She deserves to be more than a supporting character.
That should have been phase one.
Yeah, especially with as big of a role as she's played so far in the MCU. As a consistent supporting character
in all the movies.
Yep.
And as someone who very much considers himself a feminist and like is super excited to see more like solo female heroes get their story, the way that they've portrayed her character. Give me some Hawkeye love. Like, I would be very happy if Hawkeye also was like, you can even just call it the Black Widow movie.
And he's
but I would
there.
Like Jeremy Renner to be able to be like in it.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Because
like
they
him too.
Very much have an important. They seem to have a very important dynamic with each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
That have touched on in any movie they have been in together.
Yeah.
And it's not a romantic one, which I enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a great like friendship that they have developed over the years.
It's still one of my favorite lines, even though I can never remember the name of the place that they're talking about when they're
in New
York.
You remember that very differently.
Exactly. Like, I kind of want to see that though.
So yeah, that's going to be rumored right now, going to hit 2020. So it'll be a while before we get it.
That's fine. I'll wait for good things.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's not like we're going to have a shortage of MCU stuff.
No,
between
not
now
at
and
all.
Then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like every year, I say seems like every year, we're getting more and more MCU stuff to watch throughout the year.
Well, yeah, because it's in Disney's hands, and they crank those suckers out, and they've got their schedule probably through 2025 at this point.
And there's a whole lot of Marvel out there for them to draw from.
Uh-huh.
Because they do,
and
on average, like...
X-Men, too.
They do, like, 3 movies a year, don't they?
At least.
For Marvel, that's what they've been averaging.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's been... Like, last year, we had Spider-Man, Guardians... Thor, and we had another one last year, didn't we?
I think those were the only 3.
That's all I'm remembering.
I think that's it.
Okay,
because I still because
we've gotten this
Thor.
Year, we've got Black Panther, Infinity
War.
It's only like 4 weeks away too.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm so excited for Black Panther.
Me too. Yeah, and I think we've got another one this year too. But I don't.
There's
got
to have one closer
Ant-Man
to Christmas.
Ant-Man and Wasp
is another one this year.
No, is that this year? Because aren't they? Well, I guess the pictures just leaked. They're not doing. It's not like a.
Trailer. I thought we were getting Ant-Man and Wasp this year, but I could be wrong. It might be 2019.
I'll look and see if there's anything else like scheduled to release. But
and I feel like I'm forgetting one from last year because I thought there were 4, but yeah, I can't think of any other ones because yeah, it was
so
Thor,
many
Spider-Man.
Last year.
Yeah, there were so many movies last year.
Yeah.
But either way, while Ace is looking that up, we've got Kevin Smith.
That can't be right. July 6th.
Yeah, I thought it was coming
for Ant-Man and Wasp
this year.
Yeah. That's a month after
Avengers. Infinity.
Yeah,
which is why I'm pretty sure there's another one this year.
Yeah, there's got to be another. One
I will look into
for
that.
Holiday.
I will look into that as well. For
it'd be
what
dumb not to release
came out
one
in 2017.
Holiday.
Oh, yeah. Fine. It's gonna be useful.
I mean, you can try and beat him to it.
No, it's
Logan
fine.
Came out.
That's not MCU,
right?
But
yes, Logan did come out.
I wonder if that's what you're thinking of because we got Thor, Spider-Man, Guardians, Justice League, and Logan.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot about Logan.
That's another one I still haven't seen.
It's solid.
I'm super behind on my movies, but my Blu-ray players are hooked up, so I'm about to be hitting.
I haven't seen Spider-Man still, so.
We need to have a movie night at some point for that.
I finally saw Spider-Man. I liked it.
Spider-Man.
It was pretty fantastic. All right. So yeah, Kevin Smith is pitching a new project to Netflix. It wouldn't be newsworthy because he's done this before. Every time he has an idea, Netflix is one of the people he pitches to. So far, they have not bitten. But this time, he did have some pretty serious financial backing in the way of some producers that are not named, but according to Kevin Smith, pretty big money. And he's got some pretty heavy hitters for a cast already in mind. So this one might actually get picked up by Netflix, maybe, since they really seem to be putting a lot of time and effort into their own, you know, exclusive
dang
properties. Especially if something like Open House was given purchase in Netflix, I really hope that they pick up whatever Kevin Smith is putting out,
mm-hmm,
because also, Open House released this last week. I didn't even mention it before the show. Didn't think about it till now. It was a terrible movie. It's just...
Was that the Netflix original movie?
Yeah, it was a Netflix original.
Gotham, isn't it? Or someone from Gotham is in it?
I don't think he's in Gotham. No. It was the kid in 13 Reasons Why.
Or, that's right. I mixed my conversations.
They, like, moved into the house, but now he thinks someone... But they did an open house, and they think someone stayed, or it's like haunted.
The trailer actually made it look really promising. It looked kind of creepy.
Don't know about that. That's one that it's like, oh, it's borderline horror. I will show it to Shannon. I will let Shannon watch it, and then he will give me a synopsis.
I'm pretty sure he said no.
I can give you the synopsis. It's bad. But afterward, I can tell you.
I think he said him and Allie started to watch it, and then they just stopped.
It's bad. Like, it's super boring until the last 15 minutes of the movie, and then they resolve. Okay, they don't resolve everything. They roll credits. Like, the dramatic, basically, like, the actual horror element of the show really kicks in the last 15 minutes, but nothing really resolves. It just, they roll credits. Anyway, I'm not going to talk much more about that. It's bad. Even though if you have a Netflix subscription, you have absolutely just, you're scrubbing the bottom of the barrel.
If you're trying to hit...
And you just want to watch something.
I would love for Kevin Smith to get something good on Netflix. Like Red State, I don't know if it's still on there. It definitely wasn't an exclusive, but it was on Netflix for a while. That might be my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
It's a really good one.
It's so good. And then, like, I love Clerks. I love Clerks 2. I know it's not his fault. I'm still very salty about Clerks 3 being scrapped.
Yep.
Like, release that as like a short story. Like was it Randall?
Yeah, because he's the one that decided he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because Dante's, like, they still have a really good friendship, working relationship, everything else. Yeah. And as far as I know, like, everything is still cool with Randall. He's just like, I don't want to do another third Clerks
movie. Which is fair. Like,
so
I can't
just make it so he's off somewhere else, you know?
It would be hard to not have Randall in a Clerks movie.
I know.
Even though he's, like, the worst person, but it's that kind of worst person that
you need to make it work.
Especially towards the end of Clerks 2, because when they're all in that, like, that scene was really good. But then there's other stuff that Kevin Smith has done that's just like, I don't know if that really... Did you have to make yoga hosiers or whatever it was?
He actually... Do you listen to his podcast, all the Fat Man on Batman?
Whenever he has, like, a guest or a topic that I'm super interested in, I will. But I have so many podcasts that I, like...
I occasionally listen to Fat Man on Batman. Just it's on Spotify, so I'll just throw it on if I'm like out of books or whatever or other podcasts,
right?
And I don't feel like listening to music at that point. It's very rare, is what I'm getting at, that I listen to it.
I mean, it's good.
But like it is good stuff. But I'll go on a binge where like I'll listen to one, so I'll see like he's got three or more things with stuff I'm interested in, and I'll listen to him. Every single episode, he mentions how bad Yoga Hosers is at least once.
Really?
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, he just trashes that movie.
Right.
And, like, he didn't make it expecting it to be good.
Right.
He just wanted to make a weird movie and just put it out there for someone to see.
Right. But it's that thing where it's like, man, if he does a Netflix series, I want it to be something he's, like, passionate about.
Yes.
Something good.
Right. Yeah, I don't need another Yoga Hosers.
Right.
I personally kind of enjoyed that movie. It was bad, but I enjoyed it.
Right.
But either way, all right, we'll go ahead and move past that. Kevin Smith, Netflix project. Go ahead, please.
I would like
a new Kevin Smith project that he's actually passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Because dude is a great writer.
Oh, 100. Yeah.
And I mean, he's hilarious, and he's just an awesome dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want him to get more work. All right. So now, comic books, this section of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends up in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. Head up there. They've got everything you need comic book-wise and also some of the best coffee I have ever had in my life. And if you don't like coffee, they've got hot chocolate.
And chocolates and cheesecake and goodies.
But that hot chocolate, though.
Uh-huh.
so much good stuff there. It's got something for everyone. Check that store out. Also... Ask them about Villainous Grounds, because it's a hilarious story.
Is that their secret underground cellar?
No, that's proof that college students don't know how to pronunciate what they're reading.
Oh, no, I've heard them try and announce burgers at our restaurant. Laredo Burger?
It surprises me that people don't know that word, especially around here. That's the name of a truck.
It's a Jeep, yeah.
But anyway, So yeah, comic book news. Dan Slott is officially moving. We talked a while back. He's no longer going to be doing Spider-Man soon. We now know that he is moving to Iron Man. So incoming Tony Stark clones. That's just going to happen, guys.
Yeah, or he's going to wake up. But
Tony Stark is definitely coming back. But
because he recently did an interview where he talked about, like, I guess it was the reveal of that he did with Vulture.com.
Mm-hmm.
Where he announces that he's going to be working on Iron Man, and literally everything they talk about, and they don't talk about Iron Man a whole lot, but everything they talk about is Tony Stark, how much he loves Tony Stark, how much he grew up with Tony Stark, and for him to be dealing with Tony Stark. So unless he's really excited about the idea of Tony Stark as Riri's AI Jarvis, yeah, Tony's going to be coming back.
Yeah, which we've kind of known for a while that it was eventually going to happen.
It's comic books.
Yeah.
No one stays dead or comatose or whatever. Mm-mm. So
yeah, if you have a big name in comics, mm-hmm. you really don't stay dead for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been some people dead for a really long time, but they inevitably come back in one form or another.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, going to get Dan Slott on Iron Man, which could be good. We've talked about it before. Dan Slott is one of those writers that, like, he has some really, really great Spider-Man stories. He has some really, really terrible Spider-Man stories. And like how we talk about with certain other writers that seem to have a plot device they really lean on, Dan Slott's is clones. So I would not be shocked to
if
see
Tony's a clone.
Well,
a clone of Tony Stark somewhere.
I just had to, like, so is it the thing that Tony Stark, like, that Spider-Man, that he leans heavily on clones for Spider-Man? Have clones always been a part of, like, Spider-Man's story? Or has he just been writing Spider-Man so long and he's written so many clone stories that I just associate Spider-Man with clones? Because that was a thing before he took over, wasn't it? Like, am I misremembering, like, a 90s, like, the 90s Spider-Man cartoon?
It's a little column A, little column B.
Okay.
Like, yeah, no, clones have definitely been around for a while, but, like, nobody has leaned on clone stories quite as hard as Dan Slott.
Okay.
But yeah, no, like, because the Scarlet Spider and, like, well, Ben Reilly and, oh God, what's the other one's name? Something Parker, because is it? No, it's, I know his last name is Parker. The other Spider-Man clone, but I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're, I know what you're talking
about. Because there are three main ones.
Because mm-hmm.
you have, you know, Peter Parker as obviously the main Peter Parker. Then you have Ben Reilly as the Scarlet Spider as a clone. And then there's another Parker. And I want to say it's just Ben Parker, but I don't think that.
Because wasn't he also Scarlet Spider for a minute?
Yes.
Kane Parker.
Okay. Yeah, Ben, Kane, and Peter. Ben and Kane are the main two clones. And I think both of those existed before Dan Slott.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but I could be wrong. Dan Slott's been writing Spider-Man for a really long time.
Yeah, it's like some 150 issues.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a lot of Spider-Man.
If not more, especially when it's you think about it being a monthly issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been writing Spidey for a while. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's also the one that did Clone Conspiracy and just he's done a lot of stuff with clones. So, yeah. We'll see how that goes. Red Goblin, speaking of Spidey, that's actually going to be Dan Slott's last story. Is going to feature the Red Goblin, and I forget now what Go Down Swinging. I think
Go Down Swinging. I think yeah,
that's the name of the last story arc. Amazon accidentally revealed the identity of the Red Goblin.
Oops.
Yeah. So if you're actively reading this and you don't want it spoiled for you, it's not like it's a colossal spoiler or anything. Honestly, it may make you more interested in reading it. It kind of made me more interested in reading it. Ace, you look like you got something to say.
Well, no, just it was that thing, like the conversation we had before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, I went through the same stages of anger, denial, bargaining, acceptance.
Well, because like, you start out with like, no, that's stupid. And you're like, is it though?
Right.
No, yeah, it is stupid. But is it?
But like, that's kind of neat, I guess.
So Norman Osborn, also known as the Green Goblin, is going to be the Red
Goblin. Yeah.
He got a hold of the Carnage symbiote. And now he's... Yeah, see?
No!
But the more you think about it...
Especially...
I mean, I get it, but no.
Let me pull up the art that came with this.
Because the picture's pretty sweet.
The Vulture interview.
Da Vulture.
Yeah, so while Ace is pulling that up,
we will also attach this to the...
Yeah. Because it looks super neat. And I am all sorts of... The more I think about it, I am down for reading it. It could be awful, but it also could be amazing.
I do think this is something that I'm going to pick up the last arc. Just because, again, it's that same with like Action Comics 1000. Bendis' first book with DC.
Yeah. Like, as the collector's purposes.
This is a moment in comic history that is important. Dan Slott has been writing Spider-Man for so long. Like, his final arc is a big deal.
Yeah.
At least, like, even as someone who has read off and on, my favorite thing that he's done that I've read is Superior Spider-Man. I loved that arc.
It was a really, really good arc.
And it lasted for a while, and it was really, really good. So this is...
Okay, I have to admit, that looks really cool.
Right?
It's pretty baller.
I'm just saying that the symbiote has no business with a goblin.
See, and that's the thing. At all. Like, we have seen Venom and Norman Osborn, especially in the, if you watch the Ultimate Spider-Man show, I understand it's a kid's show. I enjoyed it a lot.
And that's the one that has Drake Bell voicing Spidey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've watched what's on Netflix, I think.
I don't know if I've seen all of what's on Netflix, but I've seen like the first two or three seasons, and I really enjoyed it. It's fun. It's very much a kid's show, and once I could get past the idea that like the Heroes for Hire and White Tiger were high schoolers,
it was fine.
And Nova, that was kind of weird.
That was a weird adjustment I had to get used to, but once I moved past it, and I was just like, okay, no, this is the story they're telling. Yeah, I
having,
really enjoyed
like,
it.
Luke Cage and Danny Rand as kids, but with their powers,
yeah,
was very like, guys.
Come on.
That's not stretching. How that worked out.
Right. But it ended up being, for me, it ended up being enjoyable. And so
it's fun.
There's a lot of, Norman Osborn is the main antagonist of that show.
Okay.
By and large.
Gotcha.
Like, it's not even, in every season, it's not even close.
Okay.
And so it's that thing where, me and Jesse were talking about, between the movies, between the cartoons, like all of the Spider-Man media that I consume, I'm kind of burned out on Norman Osborn.
Because he's everywhere.
That said, I can't tell you the last comic book I read that had Norman Osborn in it. I want to say it was back when he was the Patriot or Iron Patriot.
Mm. Okay.
Which that was
a while back.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Because he wasn't really involved in Superior Spider-Man at all.
Well, they might have been ignoring him because he's been in everything else.
Well, Norman just kind of like, he went on to become basically like an evil Tony Stark for a while. He was like Lex Luthor for a minute.
Yeah.
And I think that's just where he's kind of been-ish.
Because I don't know what his status quo is right now. I don't even know if he's like alive or if this is like a big return that Norman Osborn is happening. I have no idea.
I'm pretty positive that he is still alive in the main Spider-Man universe.
I mean, I'm sure he's like, I say dead just because they end up killing everybody.
I know Harry changed his last name.
Yeah.
To separate himself from Norman.
Because Spectacular Spider-Man talked about Harry has a son now.
Yes. Also named Norman.
Yeah.
But with a different last name now.
Right. No, because he didn't want it to be associated with his father.
Yes.
So I will name my son after my father.
He named his son Norman before that happened.
Okay.
In fairness.
Thank you for giving me that. I really needed it. The headcanon that I was spinning was he named him Norman to prove that he can do good.
I will save the name Norman.
Right.
It's kind of like somebody naming their child Adolf, like now.
Oh, my God.
I will prove that an Adolf can be a good man. So anyway, that's happening. And I'm sorry if that was a big spoiler for someone. That's something that interests you, head over to Villainous Grounds or your other local comic book shop and make sure you get that arc reserved so you can jump in on that. Hopefully... Marvel's pretty good about filling you in on any events that are necessary to know leading up to a current arc.
Is one of the things that I love about Marvel is they have that little insert at the beginning on the very first page. Yep.
I love that insert because I person like me, I'll go a while between reading my comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get like, you know, it'll be like 4 months since I'd read the last issue of something. And I've got, you know, a nice little back stock. It's really nice to have that reminder on the front page.
And God help you if you were in the middle of an arc.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you're reading DC.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to hope you have those back issues where they give the little box of, oh, yeah, this happened. See issue 8.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, dang it. Okay. I have to now dig that out.
All right. So, another comic book news, Kick-Ass, we mentioned earlier, is getting a reboot. I say reboot, continuation, but with none of the original characters. February 14th, 2018 is when it's going to be released, and it will be written by Mark Millar. Does not look like the art is going to be John Romita Jr. I imagine he's doing too much stuff at this point with DC to really work on Kick-Ass. So it will not feature Dave Lazowski. It's going to be Patience Lee. She is a single mother of two. She's an Army veteran, and she's going to take up the mantle of Kick-Ass to stop some folks from ruining her neighborhood.
To kick some ass.
That's right.
Boom.
So yeah, I'm excited to read that. I really liked it. Certainly went downhill in quality, but I still really liked the original three miniseries. Even the Hit Girl miniseries was good. And I also liked both of the movies, though the second one wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one.
I remember liking the first one. I don't think I ever ended up seeing the second one, but
the second one it's worth watching, in my opinion, but a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
So we were way wrong.
About?
Norman Osborn was very much a part of Superior Spider-Man.
Really?
The Goblin King.
Oh, God!
Right?
David, I completely Bowie? Forgot that part. Yeah, no, I completely forgot that. Because, like, that arc ended going, like, I thought it ended early going into Spider-Verse.
I don't know about that, but it very much ended Superior Spider-Man.
Because I definitely forgot about the Goblin King. Holy crap.
Wow,
I'm
reading,
like, I'm just going through Wikipedia trying to figure out, like, what his current status quo is. And yeah, it was like, after Superior Spider-Man viciously defeated the Vulture, everything kind of, the ball started rolling. And I was like, oh yeah, the kids. Oh yeah, the henchmen. Oh yeah, Goblin King. That's right. Me dumb.
Yep.
I just remember, like, yep.
And you guys are the Nerd Up hosts.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, Superior Spider-Man was a while ago. But either way, yeah, no, I very much remember that now. All right, well, on to video games.
Yes!
This portion of our podcast brought to you by our good friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find their podcast and all their other material at www.ps2jshow.com. They've got a ton of great content out there, a lot of stuff worth listening to. I particularly recommend their History of Gaming podcast. They're pretty fantastic listens. All right, so Stardew Valley. I know some of you out there are playing this while listening to this show because it's that addicting, and it's just a great little time killer. Multiplayer has been teased, which might really sucker me in.
So it's important to note that multiplayer has always been a plan for Stardew Valley. It's just been it's pretty much people are just, if you're listening to this and you play Stardew Valley, you know you're just waiting on the update to drop because it's supposed to be something that the creator is working on. The tease that Jesse's talking about is he was on Twitter and he's like, four player co-op is a lot of fun. Stay tuned.
So
it seems like it is in a functioning state in that they're really working on it. And when I thought of co-op, I assumed it was a max of two players.
Yeah.
So the idea that, you know, you're getting four people is...
Yeah, that could be really fun.
Maybe that's what I'll do. No, I have to do... I'll do it while I do launch.
Is that going to be just on the Switch or for PC, too?
I'm assuming it's going to be every iteration.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be really, really cool.
It was the most downloaded game on the Switch in 2017. The Switch's most downloaded game of 2017.
Yeah, it still has significantly more copies sold on Steam.
Right, but that's just when you think of like the major titles that have come out on Switch.
Breath of the Wild.
Exactly, but granted, this didn't get a physical release, so you would have to download it.
Right, yeah. If you wanted it, yeah, the only way.
Still,
to
just it. Digital. Knowing that a Mario and a Zelda game came out, like that's awesome.
Yup. All right, so yeah, Overwatch. Yeah. We got some fun news here. We're going to start with
the good
stuff.
I'll be over
here. Yeah.
I mean, you could still participate in the second part of it anyway.
I know.
So yeah, the first part, BlizzWorld, we talked about that a while back. They gave us a bunch of Blizzard-themed skins.
Yes.
A lot of these, Lindsay, at the very least, you would like. Most of them are based
on
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I just don't play the game. I watch you guys play it occasionally.
Right. It's super fun.
I don't do shooters.
I know you don't do first-person shooters. But yeah, the World of Warcraft-based skins look really, really cool. And then so do the StarCraft ones.
And, Nova, yeah. Nova, Nova, Nova,
Widowmaker
Nova,
is going to get a Nova skin.
Nova.
Mandy's going to become a Nova Maine.
I'm going to be bad with Widowmaker. Nova. It's not Hanzo.
Right. And importantly, like, this isn't an event. These are just new things being added to the game. And on top of, like, every single character, my favorite joke that I've seen on this, it's like, something claws hit a blizzard. Because everybody's getting something.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting a legendary skin. Everybody's getting a new epic skin, which are the purple rarity ones. Everybody's getting a new emote. Everybody's getting new player icons.
I don't have enough gold. Oh, my God.
Play more.
My loot boxes are finally going to be worth opening.
I don't think you know my night schedule. Like, there's Overwatch and then a nap before the day starts.
I mean, I get it.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about all this new content. I've been getting nothing but duplicates out of boxes for a long time. So, yeah, I'm excited to get new stuff.
Yeah. I just got mad about Battlefront.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've opened 8 boxes in Battlefront, and I've gotten 6 duplicates.
Yep. But Overwatch has gotten so much better about duplicates.
Yeah.
So I'm really, most of my, like, my first several boxes are all going to be brand new stuff, and I'm really excited about it. Especially some of the new skins look so cool. Yes. We talked about, like, Nova Widowmaker.
Yep.
Like, so there's a bunch of World of Warcraft themed ones. Yep. Some of the new ones we got, because we talked about all those on a previous show. Some of the new ones we got a new Pharah skin. Yes. We got a new Lucio skin.
Lucio!
Both of those look awesome.
Yes.
The new Sombra emote they showed off looks awesome.
That's so good.
It's got a Reaper on, like, a marionette. A little mini Reaper. It's really cool
that
looking.
That makes me just want to, like, kill a Reaper and so bad and be like, no. Nah.
Just do that every time you kill a Reaper. Yes. So yeah, that looks really, really cool. We got the, like I said, the new epic skins. It's been a long time since we got a new purple rarity skin.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's all just been holiday stuff or event stuff.
And even like inside the event stuff, we used to, for the first year of Overwatch, all the event stuff had like purple rarity skins in it. But they've stopped doing it in the last like 3 events have just been legendary skins.
Yep. Which are like 8 grand.
Mm-hmm. And we've gotten a bunch of new epic skins that just look really cool. Like the Reaper and the Zenyatta ones are my favorites, but there's some really good ones in there.
I do like the Reaper, but like I said, but he already has the Shiver and the Pumpkin one. That's just too many skins to choose from.
Oh, I have that problem very much in this game.
I wish Anna, like, they would do, like, League of Legends, and when you get your team together, you can pick your skin, like, when you pick your character. So way everyone can be like, yo, let's be like this.
I agree. That would be, because we definitely did that in League of Legends before. Yeah. Like, we hit up the themed skins.
The pirate ones and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you could really do wish.
It. Yeah, every time you picked your champion, you then picked your skin for your champion.
Yeah, because John and I have Spitfire. And we got Maria to buy it, but John said that the character she picked looks stupid anyway, so she doesn't equip the skin, and then she doesn't match us. Aww. And then she forgets to do it, but you can't do it in game.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, though, like, whenever you're doing switches, a lot of times you want to be done as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that it's not a thing, but I kind of want it to be a thing.
I want it to be a thing. Right now.
So, yeah, it would be kind of cool if you could just, like, hot switch skins, like, by pressing, like, a number or something like that. Yeah. That would be neat. Either way.
Or do, like, loadouts, like Injustice.
Oh, yeah.
Which, except instead of, you know, abilities being different, it's strictly, like, select the character, and if you want to switch your, you know, if you have your Frost skin to, like, 1, instead of hitting Enter, you just hit 1, and then it spawns you as that skin. Or 2 and another skin.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, that would be cool, and it still enables you to do it quickly. Yep. So, yeah, I like that. Because right now, like, between Zen and Ana, like, those two both have just...
that owl skin.
Yeah, that was one of those things. Ana's Halloween skin, she's a pirate.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, this skin is awesome. New favorite Ana skin. And then she gets the owl one and the winter one. I'm like, that didn't take long.
I know,
Friendship ended with pirate Ana.
Owl Ana is new best friend.
And I have so many D.Va skins. I'm just like,
oh, yeah, D.Va has a lot of great
Which one am
ones.
I going to pick today?
Tracer and Mercy also have a ton of great skins.
Yeah, like, Tracer has some awesome ones.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like Soldier 76 is like...
most of his skins are pretty
bad. The Grillmaster is the only one.
I like his, the actual, like the old school, the young soldier skin.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one a lot.
That one's not too bad.
Strike Commander Morrison.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the one I usually use. If not, his zombie skin's kind of cool. And yeah, Grillmaster's hilarious. I like that one a lot. But anyway... and then Overwatch League, there was some drama that happened this week that's hit a lot of news sources. Figured we'd shed some light on that for those that were curious about it. XQC is the player in question. He's a member of Dallas Fuel, and he's a really popular streamer, really talented player, but he's known to be kind of toxic just in general. He was a really questionable draft because a lot of people are like, really want, you know, that attached to the league.
Representing
the
league, yeah.
Yeah, so it happened. They got annihilated. The Dallas Fuel got annihilated by the Houston Outlaws. Everybody was sure that Fuel was going to win that match, and they went 0-4. Like, they got wrecked.
Yeah.
And one of the members of Houston Outlaws, he was being interviewed after the show, and XQC was already talking crap about how they were going to beat the Outlaws and all this other stuff. And Muma, one of the players on the Houston Outlaws after the game was over, he quoted XQC saying, as one of my friends likes to say on his stream, a rolled and smoked, my doggies. And, yeah, that's just XQC's every time he, you know, wins. That's his little catchphrase. And everybody, you just heard the crowd go like, oh, dang. It was really funny. Well, XQC responded on his personal stream saying, shut your effing mouth and go back and suck a fat phallic expletive. I mean,
rooster.
You like it, but yeah, rooster works. Yeah, and then basically he followed it up with like, nah, I mean, you'd like that, but, and then he just kind of trailed off. Mm-hmm. I think realizing that particularly the last part of that statement, he probably shouldn't have said on his live stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I didn't know any of this. I thought this happened in the match.
No.
Like, this was happening, like, he got killed, and just as that, like, the rage comes out as, yeah, you know, you die, and then you wish ill upon the, yeah, person who just killed you, and he used a very poor choice of words.
Nope.
I didn't realize that this was after the fact.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, that's, I mean, it's good he, worse, like, withheld, yep, it and didn't do it on the stream, or, like, at the games, I guess.
I mean, he probably had some, like, harsh words when he heard, because, like, the, yeah, they were still around, mm-hmm, when he, because he was being interviewed right in front of, like, the players' area.
Mm-hmm.
So he, like, XQC certainly heard Muma say it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he had been fermenting on this rage, and something brought it up in the Twitch stream, because,
mm-hmm,
he was really upset about Muma using it. And it's also important to note, for those of you that are unfamiliar, Muma is openly gay. It's one of those things, like, it's a well-known thing. XQC certainly knew it.
Right.
And he does like to say that first part. That's just his general insult. It's a really unfortunate thing that's common in video game culture in general.
Right.
But it's the second part that really got him in trouble. So immediately, like, that was brought to Muma's attention on his stream. And he was like, oh, wow, really? So on top of being super toxic, that dude's homophobic, too? That makes sense.
Right.
So that happened. And then XQC ends up apologizing to Muma about it. Muma really doesn't care. He's like, I hear it all the time and much worse stuff. It's whatever. What Muma was thinking was, like, probably it would be a lot worse if Dallas had won, but since they, right, just trounced them.
Yeah.
So either way, he was fine with it. Those two are fine. And Blizzard, though, not so fine. Because, again, they really have to put their foot down when they're talking about a lot of this stuff, because they've been making significant steps towards reducing the toxicity in the community,
which apparently is very much needed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't played Overwatch in a long time, but, like, anything that I see that makes its way to r/all, it's one of two things. It's like the new skins, or like Overwatch or Blizzard World being announced or released, or we need to do something about this community.
Because any giant online community, oh, yeah, is going to be like that.
Right.
And Blizzard has taken significant steps towards reducing the toxicity by improving the reporting system. And, like, they've added several options to the reporting system.
I'm pretty sure in that article that guy had, like, abused the reporting system and stuff,
yes,
too.
Because they've also thrown that in there. Yeah, he got banned from, like, standard, yeah, competitive play. This was way before this happened. Because just, like, his stream would say you should report that guy, and he would just report random people.
Yeah.
And once you get to, like, the top 500, you're playing with a lot of the same people over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, that just kind of jams up the report system whenever you know, he's reporting people. So either way, yeah, he got banned for overdoing it. Mm-hmm. So you can, like, if you do a bunch of false reports and it finds out you're doing false reports, they will actually ban you for abusing it. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reporting system in general, they have made significant steps towards that, and they really don't want someone in the league representing this thing that they put so much money behind as this toxic of an individual. So Blizzard straight up put a month-long ban on him from the Overwatch League and fined him $2,000.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Deserves it, but yeah. Ouch.
Is he only banned from the Overwatch League, or is it also like he can't just like go home and
he can go home and stream and do all of his own stuff.
I mean, and I'm not saying I advocate for one way or the other. I was just curious.
Yeah, no, he just can't play in the league. Dallas Fuel will be without one of their top players.
Yeah.
Because as toxic and terrible of a person as he is, he's a really talented Overwatch player.
That's what makes
player.
It so much worse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like when they're like that, but then they're also really good.
Yup.
It's like, ugh.
I mean, he's not the best player on Fuel. That probably goes to Siegel, but he's definitely the most diverse player.
But he's still really good.
Yeah, he's just really good. So anyway, he did, like, so Blizzard suspended him for a month, and then the team owner of Dallas Fuel was like, nah, he's out for stage one. So his own team penalized him far more than the league did.
That's good, though.
Yeah, no,
maybe he'll learn.
Right, yeah. Like, he needs to stop being a toxic little douche and actually realize that now that he's, you know, this is what he's being paid to do.
The public eye, like his audience, his global audience is way bigger now than when it's just him on his own private stream.
Right. Like, yeah, now that he's a professional, he has to realize that what he says has consequences.
Right.
Like, that's just how this is going to be. And I really, really like that, you know, Dallas and Blizzard, kudos to them, making an example out of this, saying that we're not going to tolerate that kind of behavior. And hopefully that will be an example towards everyone else, and it won't continue to harm the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what's going on. Like, whether or not you agree with their actions, I mean, you know what? Hit us on Facebook. Like, I'm curious if somebody else, please, if you're an XQC fanboy, though, don't just go on there flaming us. If you have a legitimate opinion about this, I would love to hear it. But I don't want to hear about how XQC is the greatest thing ever and you guys are just jealous. I am jealous, but that's not why I'm upset with what he did. So anyway, that's what's going down for those of you out there that were curious. Completely different news topic, and then we're going to have to wrap up here. Nintendo Labo. Labo? Labo?
I don't know.
I think it's Labo. I think it's Labo.
Maybe it's Lab Zero.
That would make a lot more sense, but I know it's not.
Nintendo. It wouldn't make sense.
They need you in their marketing department.
They should.
Because Lab Zero is a way better name.
Seriously.
Yes, I don't know exactly what. I'm sure that Labo plays a part of something. But either way, I'm sure you guys have seen this. It's marketed more towards like younger kids, like between ages probably like 9 and 14.
Yeah, and before, we didn't talk about it on Sunday, because I don't know if they either hadn't made the announcement yet or we just hadn't seen it, but Nintendo flat out said, like, hey, we're doing a new interactive experience for the Switch aimed exclusively at, like, aimed at children.
Because that's what they like to do.
Aimed at kids and kids at heart is what they said.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that kind of got the steam rolling on, like, basically everyone online just saw Nintendo has an announcement on Thursday.
Because oh, like, people don't read the full thing.
Yeah. Or they chose to ignore that, like, cutoff.
Yeah, because I don't think we knew about this at all before last Sunday.
Yeah, I think it was like Monday is when it came out, because
it was at the beginning.
It was the trend, because every time they've done a Tuesday Direct in January, they've always done something the following Thursday.
Okay.
And so people were like, okay, well, there could be more. We didn't get Smash Brothers. Maybe this will be Smash Brothers.
And it wasn't.
Not even a little close.
So yeah, basically this game, it's a little pricey. You get the software with it and you get a stack of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And
Special cardboard.
Gives you instructions on how to fold, pop out, and otherwise create these cardboard constructs that you can put your little Joy-Cons or the Switch itself into.
When you're using it for this, they're not called Joy-Cons anymore.
What are they called now?
Toy-Cons.
Oh, God.
Toy.
I'm sorry. Am I the only one that kind of finds that adorable?
It kind of is.
I mean, the only downside is that it has an established name.
Like, but
unless you want to change it to Toy-Con, then sure.
No, but you're transforming and they're transforming. So the name transforms like a transformer.
Okay. So
you're stretching there, Mandy.
Just don't hurt yourself on that stretch.
Too late.
So yeah, that's what it is. It does look kind of neat, and 12-year-old Jesse would be thrilled at the prospect of begging my parents to buy this for me, only to be declined. But I would have definitely gone over to my wealthy friend's house to play it.
I feel it's very borderline. Either it's going to be extremely cool, or it's just plain weird.
I mean,
it's dancing on that like fine line.
Right. I mean, it's.
I want to play that piano. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I just don't think that piano is going to play near as good.
No, it's not.
Like, how does cardboard going to bend like a key like that?
Well, no, you go through and build it together, and then there's like printing on the cardboard that like reads it through.
Just as crazy.
I don't know.
I also think it's the touch screen. So it's like when you hit the keys, it goes to that. So when you hit that spot on the screen,
but it looked like they were pressing it down. It was coming back up.
I mean, it's like it would be just like a
weighted.
But it's yeah.
I know.
But it's something you can build,
weird
which
for
is
cardboard.
Because my first impression was, what the is this? This is insane looking. I also had completely missed the entire announcement of like, hey, we're talking about something on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So it just like I read the headline like, oh, Nintendo Labo. And I was like, oh, maybe that's the name of their like online service or virtual console.
Nope.
Nope. It's not, and I was like, what is
cardboard?
What even is this?
I think it's cute.
I get that. I mean, I totally get that I'm not the demographic aimed at this. So I'm not super stoked for it. But I'm just like, seems like it could be neat.
Yeah. And for our friends with kids.
Yeah, like for me, like I think that's super cute and fun and would be awesome to do with Mike. And it'd be not just staring at a screen playing godforsaken Minecraft again. It would be cool trying to learn and put together and build stuff. Which, I mean, he likes Legos and stuff and Kinect. So it'd just be cool to see that more. Like you built something and that came to life.
Because there's some that are more involved. Thing. Like it's got a whole like rubber band pulley system inside.
Yeah, like the fishing pole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's kind of exciting, but I'm still not going to buy a Switch. So.
I mean,
Jesse, we're going to use yours.
Oh, okay.
Well, like my thing with it is like cardboard is not durable.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you take especially with that robot one, like the first time a child actually tries to punch something with those gloves on.
Or yeah, like, I can see Mikey just putting his little fist right through the stupid thing.
Well, you guys, let's go in on it and we'll find out.
Or like if they, or
we'll
like,
give you a review.
If they fall over while wearing it and like they're wearing that backpack and they crush it, like it's.
Oh my God, my kid would do dodge rolls in it. You know he would.
Yeah,
he would dodge roll. The thing is crushed.
Yeah, no, he does dodge rolls and everything.
So that's how he moves. Like this. My kid doesn't walk.
I meant to look. I think this information's on the website. So if you're really curious in it, you can go to like the Nintendo Labo site and they'll tell and they have that information. But like, I don't know how they're dealing with replacement parts. Like, can you just buy a new sleeve for cheaper? Because it's $60 or it's $70 for no. $60 for the variety pack.
And $70 for the robot.
And $70 for the robot.
Just the robot.
Yeah.
I thought the robot was $80.
It is. It's $70 and $80 then. Because there's a $10 difference.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think the robot is $80. So yeah, $70. $70 gets you the game with the cardboard.
And the variety $80, pack.
Yeah.
$80 is the robot version and the robot.
Is there like 10 or 11 different like varieties with
them?
The variety pack, and there's like a remote control car, the fishing rod, there's a house, there's the
piano.
So
there's at least quite a bit.
Yeah, you get quite a few because it said like that trailer that Nintendo released, the variety pack is most of, if not all of those.
And then the robot's just on its own.
Yeah. So you get the software with it, but cardboard's not expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe they'll even just put the plans for it online. So you can redo it at home, but then you still have to buy the original one for
the software.
And it just comes with a bunch of cardboard there.
Yeah, because this is something that I very much don't see you can buy on the eShop.
Right.
For like a discounted price and then
go out and buy like, go to your local U-Haul store or something like that.
Buy boxes or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll have to see when it comes out. But again, it's very much just something not aimed at me. Like, I personally would like to build some of that stuff just to see, but don't look at me like that. But it's just like, the actual game part of it, like, if I could, if they put those plans online, especially, I would just like to build it and not deal with the game stuff at all.
Right. Oh. My absolute favorite reaction to this, and I can't remember if it was Reddit or what, but it was like, meanwhile, while every other company, or while every other company is investing heavily in virtual reality, meanwhile, at Nintendo, here's the box your Oculus came in. Turn it into a house.
Yeah, I saw the on, like, I think it was Bikini Bottom Twitter about like it was the SpongeBob and Patrick like playing in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Squidward like was representing Microsoft and sees them pull out the Switch, which is like handheld hybrid console with VR functionality built right in.
Mm-hmm.
Then Patrick and SpongeBob pick it up, throw it away, and they just sit in the box.
Oh, Bikini Bottom Twitter. I love you.
Imagination.
Children don't have it.
They can.
A small amount of them have it.
My kid has
Most
it.
Of them cry the second you take a phone or a tablet away from them.
Yeah.
That's pretty true.
I mean, I'll be interested to see how this does and like...
Once
the actual reviews come out and like the durability of it, and then two, like how engaging it actually is for an extended period of time, as opposed to like you said, like you build it.
We spent $70. You're done with it in a week and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
But we can buy it.
Yes, you and Mikey can buy it.
You gotta come over with your Switch. Whoa! That's the end of the show because your hosts are about to die.
You can buy it and come use my Switch.
Okay.
But I say if your apartment wasn't like 95 degrees at all times,
God,
then
it's
maybe.
65 right now. You're lucky I'm alive.
I don't want to pay that
electric bill.
All right. So yeah, the last little bit of news I didn't want to gloss over too much, but we're already over on time. There's a new Fable game in development. Peter Molyneux
is still rumored, isn't it? Like,
no, it's a thing.
Has it been confirmed?
Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, Peter Molyneux is not involved in this whatsoever. Playground Good. Games, the guys that do Forza Horizon, are the ones making this game. So going to be something very different from what they're used to.
Right.
And we don't have any more information than that.
Aside from Lionhead Studios is dead.
It has
been for a while. I mean, Guerrilla Games did nothing but Resistance. Or was that the name of that shooter on the PS3 exclusive shooters?
Yeah, Resistance.
Okay, yeah, because they had done nothing but Resistance.
There was Resistance and Killzone, and I think Guerrilla was Resistance.
I can't. It might have been. I don't know. Either way, they'd only really done gritty, futuristic first-person shooters, and then they have this idea for Horizon Zero Dawn, and they kill it. So I mean, if they have, and especially if they do like what they did, because NoClip has an amazing documentary on Horizon Zero Dawn and that development process, where they talk about kind of bringing in ringers to handle the aspects that they normally don't deal with. Like, they brought in the guy who wrote the New Vegas.
Like, what a good story, though.
And he's the guy who wrote Horizon Zero Dawn. Because they knew, like, well, that's not always been our forte. We don't really know all about that. We need to bring in someone who knows what they're doing. So if they have someone who's passionate about this project, like, they have a team who's passionate about this project, and they know that, you know, what mechanics they are lacking in or don't have the experience in that they really want, they can go outside of the company and bring people in for this game. And if they do something like that, especially with Microsoft being behind them, and like if this is an Xbox exclusive, I can't imagine Microsoft would not.
No, yeah, Microsoft very much owns the Fable.
A bunch of money. Like, they would just invest a lot of money in this to be like a system seller, because they really don't have an exclusive system seller still.
Right. Yeah, really all they have going for them right now is hardware.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that, I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up just because I've been burned by Fable franchise.
That's fair.
And, like, the fact that Peter Molyneux is not involved, good step. Like, this makes me happy.
And then even, like, Fable Legends looked really good, but we never got it.
Well, and see, and it was a thing, like, it looked good for what it was, but it was not a Fable game. Like,
right.
That was almost like an MMO. And people were like, no, that's not what Fable is.
Yeah.
And I think Microsoft kind of saw that and was like, okay, we're seeing the reaction and we're seeing the numbers that, you know,
interest polling, great.
And then whatever that Kinect game version was.
No, that was terrible. Fable Journey.
Yeah.
And
that
was really
dumb.
So
we're just going to, yeah, you created it, but we own you and you're going away. We're holding on to this, though.
We're going to put this in our pocket.
Yep.
So just, we'll deal with it later.
We'll be over here. You stay in that corner and don't move.
Yeah. Grounded.
No, you can move because you're out of the house.
Like, yeah, they kicked him out of the house. They emancipated Peter Molyneux.
Fair enough.
And Lionhead Games. All right, so yeah, that's going to do it for us, guys. Make sure you hit us up on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. We're going to get those pictures posted there for you. Also, hit us up on Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. I know we've said this before, but we're going to get this meeting going. We're going to revamp those rewards, and it'll definitely be worth it. I'm sorry it hasn't happened before now. Happening soon. Trademark.